pulled loose until you can't hang on to God, your faith, your walk with God, or anything else. And so it's critically important that we as Christians understand, just like my theme, the anchor holds. The anchor is what keeps you where you need to be. And if you know anything about sailing and about anchors, and if you don't, that's okay. But that thing, that anchor, is the very thing that keeps you from crashing on the shore or being destroyed in the storm. And that's the nature of this very thing. So I picked this text out of Romans 8, 28, a familiar one, because the focus is everything upon what God, the anchor, the God of love, who holds us, who reaches down and lifts us out of our circumstances. And if we'd have practiced it, we'd have gotten a little better at it. Sorry, God. Oh, my God, guys, you did fine. But, and poor you did fine too, even though you were ready to scream. Yeah, the idea, of course, is that God operates with that kind of commitment to rescue you. God, in the action of God right now, is to picture him reaching down as low as he needs to go to get underneath you, no matter what condition your mind or heart or spirit is in. He reaches under you and he lifts you up. Your confidence is not on what you deserve, and he doesn't look for you and search after you because you deserve it. He searches after you because he loves you. And that's the part of understanding this text that becomes so absolutely important. He reaches underneath you, lifts you up, and then you can rely not upon your ability or strength, but you rely fully upon God himself, trusting in his muscle, his strength to carry you. Now, obviously, the illustration is very limited in what it can fully illustrate, but you begin to understand if we practice a little more, and she could have leapt and didn't have a dress on and whatever else I was goofing up there, you begin to understand how God begins to work. And so verse 28 begins with this thought. It says, and we know. Do you? Knowledge sets you free. Understanding what God has promised and claimed is significant, and the knowledge needs to be precise and accurate. Okay? It says, we know that in COVID, God works for good. We know that in lockdowns at school, God works for good. We know that in cutting back on dances and games and fun things, God works for good. We know that in the struggles we experience as individuals, we know that in the suffering and the pain and the difficulty of life and circumstances and people, God is working for good. You can't read this without filling in your list, whatever it is. I was sharing this morning that the Lord kind of quickened some thought in my head. We tried about a year and a half ago, to find new ways to pray for people. And we would go to different places, and we had these little cards made up. If there's anything we can pray for you about, we offered to pray, and we gave out a card, and that worked to some degree, but it didn't work that much. But this morning, as I was notified by somebody who doesn't go to my church, would you please pray for my best friend in Germany? She has breast cancer, and she's going to have to start chemo, and she's got a 5-year-old daughter, and I really want you all to pray for her. And I went, wow, what a privilege. I go, some of us are almost overwhelmed by the number of things, people, and circumstances that we eventually start praying for. One of the challenges we always give my people here at Lamb of God is that when they go to the restaurant, you find out the waiter or waitress's name, and then when you're about to take your order, you say, we're going to pray here in just a minute. Is there anything we can pray for you about? And then the other day, I had people coming into church bringing up these prayer requests. And I'm going, wow, we just picked up 3-4 brand new prayer requests with names I don't even know. And I went back and I said, where did this come from? She says, oh, those are the waitresses and waiters I've been talking to. And I thought, well, great. Can you just put that down next time from a waitress? So here we are praying for a waitress that we don't know, but it doesn't matter because God knows, and we're getting an answer to our prayer Lord, teach us to be a congregation that learns how to be prayer warriors. And the toughest part about being a warrior is it's tough. Warriors don't walk around being wimpy, okay? That's really the challenge. Warriors are this, that, whatever you picture, however you want to picture some individual that has to go out there and face down a bullet or face down something else in his life or her life, you have to understand what it takes. And so here in this context now, we know that in all things, God works for good. I go, thank you, COVID, for the privilege of praying for 10 people I don't know. Thank you, COVID, for getting a phone call this morning or a text this morning and praying for someone I don't know at all. But it doesn't matter because God knows them. Thank you, God, that you're answering the prayer of this congregation to learn how to be more intercessors in every part of their life so that they begin to understand, let's enter the battle. Let's recognize if we're having a tough time dealing with life and circumstances, we certainly can reach out to these individuals and help carry them, support them, or be an extension of what God has already done in our life. As if I would picture myself being held by God, I wouldn't make you guys do that, by the way. I wasn't sure how it'd turn out. But I would see myself as, can I reach down with my hand being held by God and help an Ashley get into the situation where the arms of God are able to fully support her? And I go, yes, I am a tool in the hand of God to rescue people with the power that God has given to me to reach down when God's pulling that person gently to lift them up and pull them where God wants them to be. God works in all things for the good of those who love him. It's one of the challenges. If you love God, here's the evidence of it. You'll obey him. Don't talk about mush. Don't talk about fuzzy, warm feelings for God. There's one question Scripture presents when it comes to love of God. Are you obedient? Do you follow me? And so you begin to understand the challenge in front of us is this very beautiful statement, I will be these things for all those who love me, and then he adds this phrase, who have been called according to his purposes. And here's the miracle, for God so loved the world. You understand? He wants to reach into every single one of us, our lives and circumstances. So now he goes from there and he says, let me tell you about the anchor. Let me tell you what this means to you. Let me tell you what it means to have God wrap around you, you know, and protect you and guard you and defend you, all those different things. It goes, those God foreknew, that means since God knows everything, God knew you guys were going to sing here. He knew that. Before you were even born, I don't know if you know that. And he loved the fact that you sang here tonight because you blessed us. And he will bless you for it. And you have to understand, he knew that before you even knew it. And I know Miss Fenning came up with it whenever she came up with the idea. And you said yes. And God knew you were going to say yes, and you're here. But in the middle of it, here's the miracle. Those God foreknew, he didn't cause you to be here. He didn't take away your freedom to not be here. You could have just as easily said, like some of you didn't want to volunteer, you know, for God or the devil or, well, we had good devil jump up. That was pretty quick, so that's good. And we had anger right up there right away too. So it's good to know our weaknesses. It really is. And yet in the middle of it, God goes, you don't understand who that girl is in my life yet. God goes, I know her. I'm glad he walked up today. You don't understand what I want to say to him tonight, how I want to speak to him. And so you begin to understand those God foreknew, he predestined. It's going to happen. It's like watching the movie the second time through. You can't not know the end. You've seen the movie before. Everything in life for God is like that. He could stand there and go, I can tell you when they're going to die and where she's going to go and he's going to live, how his life's going to, I can tell you all that. It doesn't mean I'm making you go in those places. I'm not taking away your freedom for one split second because I will know when you shift and when you go in a different direction. That's just the way it is. I know the movie. I know how it ends. And he goes on. Those who have been called. And then he goes on, they're predestined. I'm sorry, those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, so that he can become the firstborn of many brothers. I could go into that in a minute. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. If you're a Christian, you have been called by God. He has reached down. That's the part I said, bend down, pick Ashley up. However you can best get that done, okay, that would have been the ideal situation. I probably would have practiced it differently with them, but you understand. Called means I have reached into your life. I have lifted you up. Now, you always have the ability to get out of God's arms and shut him down. The same way if I said, Ashley, don't let those boys pick you up. She could have figured something out, okay? It was hard enough without her even having to work at it. And so she could have figured out. So the miracle is God reaches down, lifts you up off your feet, and for the first time you awake and you go, God is holding me. I have been called by God, and the word justified means you've been declared legally not guilty. It's a judicial term used in court, identifying not guilty of any crime. You are set free. If we saw it as a $1 billion debt, God slams the gavel on the altar and he says, your debt is paid for in full. And you begin to understand that's the process right there. And he goes on from there, he also glorified, which is to set you up into that situation where he just delivers you into this beautiful gift of salvation and joy that he wants you to have. What shall we say to this? He goes on. If God is for us, who can be against us? This is part of the anchor. It doesn't matter what I'm feeling today. I have to get beyond my feeling. My feeling can be triggered by a look. You ever gotten a look from somebody and you thought it meant they don't like you anymore, or you can't see faces and mouths as much as anymore, but you begin to understand we have this ability to react to any number of things. He goes, what's our response? If God's for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, now this is a comparison, but he gave him up for us all, how will he not also give us all the things we need? God would have figured a way to get Ashley into the circle somehow if they would have had to pick her up one leg at a time. If they would have had to let go of one another, reach down and each pick them up like you see in the romantic movies, they would have got her picked up and held and surrounded by God's mercy, grace, and love. That becomes the anchor. I know who I am. I know what God has done for me. I really do believe in Jesus Christ. He is that very thing that I'm trusting in. And so it goes on from there. It says, if God was willing to send his son, what do you think? And it's for you and me. If I'm willing to do that, name something that you want that you don't think I want to give you in some way. And I know this is the hard part because sometimes you want something, you want it today. And God says, no. Sometimes you want something, it's not going to come to you at all, because it's the worst thing that could ever happen to you. I was talking to a young man, and he was talking about the fact that he didn't believe in God, and he was an atheist, and I said, tell me about what it is and what God could do for you. If God did something for you, what would it take for God to do for you to begin maybe trusting him again or something? He says, stop my parents from getting a divorce. And I looked at him, and I said, do you think that's the best answer? I can tell you, I know it's the will of God. I can tell you, I know what God wants. But is that the only answer? Maybe the best thing isn't that they get back together. Maybe they're going to have to separate for a year to find out how stupid they are to be divorced. And maybe it'll take that year for them to come back together. Can you wait for it? And I began to say, how tough is it to play God? Because I said, imagine somebody who is sick. Why is your solution only to get well? Do you not think COVID has been a blessing? Well, no, it sucks. I hate it. I don't blame you. I don't like it either. But on the other hand, it's taught you about what it means to be in church. It's taught you what it means to be manipulated by a government. It's taught you what it means to be set free so that you begin walk with independent thinking, independent action and behavior. It has taught you how to survive in a complex set of emotions and feelings. And it's challenging the church. It's challenging God's people. It's challenging people all over the world with the challenges that are in front of us. People are terrified of dying. Why? I remember a lady once saying, as they headed for heaven, as this kind of, I think it was a story, an illustration, boy, if I knew how good heaven was going to be, I wonder why I ever took a single vitamin. I'd wonder why I ever bothered to get up and exercise. I'd have just said, okay, Lord, it's a good day. And they weren't saying don't exercise and don't eat right. They were saying, what am I fighting so hard to hang on to? I am saved. I know the Lord. I am trusting in God. And here comes the promise that in all things, God works together for good. In every circumstance, including that circumstance that I identified with COVID. And he goes on from there, who's going to bring any charge against you? It's God who declares you legally not guilty. There is no sin in your book. God uses the word blameless for you. Now, you don't feel blameless, but that doesn't mean before God's throne you are not blameless. It just means your feelings have to catch up with the way it started off. And we know. Maybe you don't know that before God's throne, you're declared legally not guilty. Before God's throne, whatever debt you are expected to be paying is paid for in full. And over there is Christ, and he's doing this unbelievable exchange. They take the handcuffs off you. They put them on Christ, and he says, I'll pay for her. I want Ashley in heaven. I will reach into her circumstances. I will save that girl. I will pay the price. I will go to hell. I will die for her. The price is paid in full. Ashley, rely on me. Let God pick you up and hold you that way. And so he goes from that point to the next one, and it continues on. Who is he that contemns? Christ Jesus, who died, here it comes, raised to life, sits at the right hand, and here's the beautiful part. I don't even know how to pray. What's the verse say? He's interceding for me. You know what? I sometimes get prayer requests. I have no idea what to pray for. I don't know whether to pray, heal them, get them better, help them bear up under the pain. I just don't know. Every once in a while, I hit this wall, and I go, Lord Jesus, your will be done. Lord Jesus, you love this person beyond anything I can comprehend. I don't know what that woman in Germany needs. I can guess. I can anticipate. I hate the word cancer. I hate the word breast cancer. I hate anything that has to do with cancer in anybody's life. But on the other hand, I know that in the middle of it, God is working and he's continuing to accomplish his purposes. So I say, Lord Jesus, your will be done in her precious life. Let your love be understood. Let your forgiveness be there. Draw her closer to you. I got a text later today. Same person that put that prayer request out there. Because I had said, told her what I was going to be praying for. And said, I'm going to be praying for healing and strength. And then I'm going to be praying that the person that called me would be given a special gift and ability to witness and share and nurture and encourage her friend. And she writes back later in the day, thank you so much for that, because that's exactly what God's been speaking to my heart. I've had this wonderful opportunity to begin sharing with her more about the Lord Jesus Christ than I've ever been able to share with her before. And I go, you have to understand, in all things, God, who reached down, grabbed Ashley off the ground, lifted her up, and held her as she relied on his strength, okay, is holding this woman over here in America and this woman over there in Germany as you begin to understand the significance. He goes on from there, and it says, what in the world do you think will ever separate us from the love of God? What can cause God to let go of Ashley? What's going to make God turn his head? Say, Ashley, where you're no longer valuable to me. And he said, shall persecution, I'm going to add a few more, the devil, narrowness or distress, anguish, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, judicial punishment. Then I'll add worry, and I'll add Satan himself. You begin to understand, no, I won't let any of those things pull you away from me. That's the heart of the Father for you. And then he finishes it off with, for your sake, we face death all day long, and we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Well, it's okay to die. Amen. It sucks. I'm not looking forward to it, but God whispers to you, it's okay. If that's what's needed, it's okay. If you've got brothers and sisters standing out there, China and other places, who are putting their lives on the line, the last thing they even think about twice is COVID. Because if they find out they're Christian, they lose their education. They lose their right to go to school. They lose their ability to hardly get out of their houses. They're locked down like crazy. And they'll suddenly disappear if I suddenly step up in front of you and say something that doesn't agree with what the Chinese communist socialists are attempting to cause you to believe. They just take you in the middle of the night. I was listening to a presentation. Eight Christians just disappear in the middle of the night because one church said, we're not shutting down. And I'm going, what do you think is happening to pastors in America? They're arresting them. Why? Because they're not shutting down. You understand, it's okay not to do that. And you begin to understand these points, and he steps forward. He goes, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. The phrase, more than conquerors, it means we will gain a decisive victory. When the disciples were watching Jesus go up to Calvary, and you're going to betray me, and they will take me, and I will be crucified. They said, well, you can't go. Peter kept shouting to him, don't go, Jesus, don't go. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I'm going. But it's not what we think is best. And Jesus finally had to say, watch what God does with my death. Watch what God does with my suffering. Watch what the Father does with this circumstance that you in your limited way cannot understand. And Peter had to shut his mouth. And Peter had to be one of the disciples who finally fell down and said, my Lord and my God, in the resurrection scenario, as he started to understand the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for Peter's sins. And it goes on there from that point. I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, present or future, any power, neither height nor depth. And that doesn't just mean altitude. It means sophisticated, powerful, highest level powers or lowest level manipulations or demonic attacks, okay? It's not just talking about height and depth or anything that is all in every bit of creation, including a virus, all right? Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My anchor holds because it's not relying on me. I am sitting in the arms of my God going, he says, do you trust me? Yes, Lord. Do you trust me if I take you into a difficult situation? Yes, Lord. Why? Because it's you holding on to me. Do you trust me if I take you into the middle of places where they will abuse you, yell at you, or scream at you? Yes, Lord, I do. Why? Because I, here's the song, am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee. And I begin to go, why are those songs written? Because brothers and sisters finally understand the gospel. The gospel is not about Bruce. The gospel is about God reaching down, grabbing Ashley, lifting her up, fighting off everything that tries to pull her away from him, and standing guard over her life from beginning to end, holding her till he carries her into eternal life. That's the miracle of what the gospel is all about. The more we understand it, the more we're able to share it with others. One last thought as we begin to finish off here, and that is just simply this. God, who began this good work in you, will bring it to its full completion. That's the promise you rest on. No matter how your day goes, no matter what your circumstances are, I'm trusting you, Lord. You are my anchor, and I pray, Lord Jesus, that in your mercy and your grace, you would save every one of us here, that you would minister to each one of the young people, that you'd guard their lives, strengthen their walk, equip them with knowledge, understanding, and power that they have only begun to grasp and understand. Help them to recognize what it really means by the purity of the gospel of being saved by God's right arm, by God's strength, by God's mercy, by God's grace, and then help them to rest in the power and all the things that He has for them in the middle of their life and circumstances. Come and bless each of us here tonight, Lord, as we join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to ask you guys.